I'm not preaching on Santa Claus this morning. And he's not big enough to build a message around.
Amen.
Been a lot of messages preached on Santa Claus. I've preached a few about him myself. And I learned there's only one person in all the universes that's big enough to build a message around, and that's Jesus. And that is the only one. I'm not preaching a Christmas message this morning. If the Lord lets me, I will preach on somewhat on Christmas tonight and again next Sunday morning, but not this morning. And that's just the way the Lord laid things out for me, and I've got my reasons for that. But I want to pick right up where we've been preaching, if you would, in 1 John chapter number 2. 1 John chapter number 2.
Amen.
John, 1 John chapter 2, and I want to begin reading in verse number 12. I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven for his name's sake. I write unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because ye have overcome the wicked one.
Amen.
I write unto you, little children, because ye have known the Father. I have written unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because ye are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and ye have overcome the wicked one.
Amen.
Now may the Lord add his blessing to that.
Amen.
Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we're certainly thankful for the season that we're in at this day. And we thank you, Lord, for the privilege that's ours to worship him that was born of a virgin, died a sinless life, a death, and rose again from the grave that we might be justified. Thank you, Lord, for the life that you gave, the blood that you shed. Thank you for the text that is ever before us this morning. Thank you for the Sunday school hour. Thank you for your people and their faithfulness in being in the house of God. I pray that you would bless us this morning. We need your divine presence. I pray, Lord, that the Holy Spirit of God would breathe upon this place in an unusual way today, providing the power, the grace, the liberty, Lord, to preach the Word of God. And Lord, I'm praying that it'll not fall on deaf ears, but that it'll fall on fertile hearts, that'll bring forth fruit unto God. And Lord, blessing unto your people. May we leave here today rejoicing, saying it's been good to be in the house of God. Again, I pray that we'll glorify you in everything that is said and done. Again, I ask you for that power, that anointing, that filling of the Spirit of God, that liberty that's needed to preach today. And Father, we'll thank you and praise you for all that is accomplished, for we ask it in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen and amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. Now, I'm going to be preaching out of these three verses that I read this morning. And probably an unusual message for this time of the year. I know most preachers start gearing around the virgin birth and of our Lord and the incarnation and so forth. But I've reserved that for tonight and for next Sunday morning, Lord being my helper.
Amen.
But no fancy title this morning. I simply want to preach a message this morning on the thought of Christian growth.
Amen.
Our maturity in the Lord.
Amen.
How we are growing in grace and knowledge of Him, and how well we understand the Bible. How far we've come along in the knowledge of our Lord since we've been saved by the marvelous grace of God. Now, let me simply begin by saying that all of God's children are not on the same spiritual level.
Amen.
We're not all of the same spiritual stature. In fact, Paul clarifies that in the book of Ephesians chapter number 4.
Amen.
When he talks about until we all reach the fullness of the stature of Christ. And not everyone is there. In every congregation, and I use this word in that light, there is a mixed multitude of people.
Amen.
Not all are fathers, not all are children, and not all are young men. But there should be some of each and every one of those in every congregation that meets together. Now, though all of us are, we're not on the same spiritual level, but we all have been quickened. We've all been quickened into a newness of life. I don't care what level of growth that you're on this morning, you've been saved by the grace of God. You have been quickened to a newness of life. I'm glad, thank God, old things have passed away and all things have become new. I heard a preacher just recently say that that verse of Scripture in Corinthians referred to the time when we'd get to heaven, when truly old things would be passed away and all things would be made new. But I don't believe that's right. When I got saved by the grace of God, old things did pass away. And I began to live a new life in the Lord Jesus Christ. Old things were passed away. And it was because I had been quickened and been made alive in the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't need to tell you this, but I'm going to. If you're lost this morning, you are still dead in your trespass and sin. And by the way, I believe in the total depravity of man. And salvation is of the Lord. And God has to initiate that salvation, and you can believe this or you don't have to, but He does that through the preaching of the gospel. When the gospel of the Lord Jesus is preached, the Holy Ghost anoints that gospel, and He opens up the heart and the understanding of people that they might receive the Lord Jesus Christ unto the saving of their souls. Somebody say amen right there. But we've all been quickened to that newness of life. We've been made partakers of God's divine nature. Peter tells us about that. And we're all indwelt by the Holy Spirit. And yet we vary one from another in several aspects of life. Now, talents are not bestowed upon us in a uniform manner. They're certainly not. I know that from the parable in Matthew chapter number 25. And I've got a long introduction, a short message, so you just bear with me, okay? I know that from Matthew chapter 25. He gave one of those men 5 talents. He gave another one of those men 2 talents. And he gave to another one of those men, another man, 1 talent. And he gave them these talents, every man according to his several ability. I want to say this morning that God knows what your ability is. God knows what you're able to accomplish. God knows how far you're able to go. And by the way, ladies and gentlemen, He will lead you and direct you, and He'll use the man of God to prod you and amen and to lead you until you, till we have arrived at that destination. We're not all capable of doing the same thing for the Lord. None of us have the same ability. I mean, Brother George can lay tile. Praise God, the only thing I can do is lay in the bed. Amen. Brother Steve Ford back there can build a house. I couldn't build a bird cage. Amen. Some of you men know how to lay block and pour in concrete. I can't do none of that stuff. And what I'm saying is you have a greater ability in these areas than what I have. But I'm also saying this, that we're all on different stages in our spiritual life, and God knows what our ability is, and our abilities are not the same. He gave 1 man 5, 1 man 2, and 1 man 1. I'll tell you how to please God is just take that talent God has given you and use it for His glory. If He's given you 5 talents, use them. 1 to 2 talents, use them. 1 talent, use that talent that God has given you. Now, there are distinct stages in our growth, in grace, and our actual attainments differ considerably. I've already said that. In the passage that we're looking at now, the apostle divides our Christian growth into 3 classes. He says that there are little children. Then he says that there are young men. And then he says that there are also fathers. And he breaks that down to give us the ability of each of these and where they are inside their Christian growth. For instance, he says, little children, I write unto you, little children. And I personally believe that that is giving reference to all of us in the beginning. Every one of us in the beginning is a little child. I'll say a little more about that just in a few minutes. And he said, and they have their sins forgiven. We've all also done that. And they have known the Father. And if you're saved by the grace of God today, you are a child of God. Amen. An eternal child of God. An everlasting child of God. Amen. Born again from above into the family of God. I tell you, the greatest joy and thrill of my life is knowing today that I am God's child. Hallelujah. I lived in the world and lived for the devil, but there came a day when the Holy Ghost passed by where I was and birthed me into God's wonderful, holy, righteous, amen, heaven-bound family by the grace of Almighty God. Amen. That's right. And by the way, if you know the Father, He has been revealed to you by Christ.
Amen.
He said, no man knoweth the Father except those to whom the Son will reveal Him to.
Amen.
Now I'm telling you, if you know God, you know Him through the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Did He not tell His one Philip? Philip said, show us the Father and it suffices us. He said, Philip, have I been with you so long and yet you have not known me? For when you have seen me, you have seen the Father. Amen. We know the Father, but He's referring to the Father in all of His majestic glory. Thank be unto God. We know the Father, but someday we're going to see the Father in all of His beauty, holiness, and majestic glory as He sits on His throne and rules and reigns, ladies and gentlemen, with a rod of iron. Amen. I don't know about y'all, but it's hot up here. I want to cut them down a little bit. Up, down. Both of them. This one over here is running away with itself. Woo! That wouldn't work. Now it's about to kill us. Amen. It's good Baptist, hot 1 minute and cold the next. Amen right there. Amen. Then he talks about the young men and to the next stage of growth. And he says about these young men, that they have overcome the wicked one. Now, is there any way? Brother Steve has been teaching on the wiles of the devil.
Amen.
And that preparatory verse to putting on the whole armor of God.
Yeah.
That we might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Because we wrestle not with flesh and blood, but with principalities and powers and with the rulers of the darkness of this world.
Yeah.
And he's been teaching on that. But according to what John says, these young men that he is writing to, they have overcome the wicked one. Thank God, what a giant step in the Christian life when we can look the devil square in the eye, realize he's a roaring lion, knowing that he's going to tempt us, and yet realizing that God will, by the same temptation, also make a way of escape that we might overcome him and live a victorious Christian life in this world today. Amen. Thank God. Hallelujah. They've overcome the wicked one, and they're strong. And it says they're strong because the Word of God abides in them. I want to say today, that's the only way you can be strong. It's to stay in that book. Let somebody say, I don't understand it all. I don't either. But let it run through you by your spiritual being. Let that Word flow through you. There will be a growth taking place that most people cannot see in themselves, but others can see that growth in you.
Amen.
Better believe that's right. Amen. Hallelujah. I used to plant a garden, go out and watch every day thinking it's going to sprout, and I'd begin to think it wasn't going to come up. But sure enough, after a while, that little bean would go and jump right through the ground. And there it was, but it just started its growth.
Amen.
Watching them little beans every day. That little bean didn't know it was growing a bit more than a billy goat. But I did.
Amen.
And it come to a place one day where it produced fruit.
Amen.
And I'll tell you, our growth is not really that noticeable to us. But those around us, I can tell the difference in a number of you that are here now than what you were some time ago.
Amen.
I think the fact that the majority of this church has been knitted together and held together in the midst of the storms and the trials that we have faced is proof and evidence, ladies and gentlemen, that we have grown and matured in the Lord Jesus Christ and in His knowledge. Amen. And then John repeats that again about them overcoming the wicked one. He wanted to give them assurance of that fact. That's assurance. When God repeats something that closely together, He's given us the assurance that we have overcome that wicked one. How to overcome him? Huh? I don't want to make nobody mad. Somebody said, I overcome him when I got baptized. That ain't what the Bible said. I got so spiritual I spoke in tongues and overcome him. That ain't what the Bible said. Well, I joined the church and overcome him. That ain't what the Bible said. The Bible said they overcome him by the word of their testimony and by the blood of the Lamb, and they loved their lives not unto death. In other words, ladies and gentlemen, they were sold out to God, lock, stock, and barrel, and were willing to lay their lives down for the cause of the Lord Jesus Christ. But I won't say, where are the Davids at today who's willing to lay their lives down for the cause of Christ? Where are the young men? Why are the young men that's strong and overcome the wicked one and willing to lay their life down for the work and cause of the Lord Jesus Christ? Amen. And then it says, there's fathers. They have known him. Get this. And it said they've known him from the beginning. And this is whole theology. Knowing him from the beginning, I put down there were no interruptions in their fellowship. Amen. They had known him from the beginning. Amen. That's why they were fathers. They had matured. Amen. They were men. They weren't little whiny-faced, wimpy boys anymore. Amen. They were men with unbroken fellowship that loved the Lord. They didn't carry a chip on their shoulder. Their feelings wasn't hurt every time somebody said something contrary to them. They had grown up in the Lord. And I'm telling you, it's time that we as God's people put away childish things, as Paul said, and grew up in the Lord a little bit. I say amen. Now, as a child, affections marks the regenerate infant. And that just like it does a physical child. Great exploits distinguish the young men. And wisdom the fathers. Amen. Little children love to be carried in their parents' bosoms. And to be dandled on their knees. They love to be taken by the arms as they are taught to walk. Amen. Isn't that not right? You don't believe me, let one of them let out a little whimper and pick it up and see what it does. They love that. And I'm telling you, little children that are born again ones love the same thing. We all do. We love to be dandled on our spiritual father on God's knees. We love to be carried in the bosom of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We love it that when we whine, He'll come to our rescue. But there comes a time, ladies and gentlemen, when that sort of stuff has got to be not only put away from a baby, but it's got to be put away from an adult as well, spiritually speaking. Amen. I'm going to tell you, let your child be a whine bag. Now they'll be a whine bag all their life. Teach these young boys to be men. I want that baby right there to grow up being a man. And I'm saying this, I want that baby to know who grandpa is, who grandma is, who great-grandpa and great-grandma is as well, and who his church family is. Amen, amen and amen. Amen. That's right. Thank God. You better believe that's right. Amen. That's right. I'm going to tell you something. I've heard kids carry on. If I carried on the way they did, my daddy would beat me half to death. Amen. And that is after mama got done with me. Daddy would have got what remained. if there was any remaining thing there. That's right. Buddy, I'm going to tell you, look out at the world around us, folks. It makes me stand in fear and trembling. When I see kids at the ages of 18 and 19 years old committing some of the atrocities that kids today are, I'm telling you, that tells me they had no upbringing. Their mind has never gotten anywhere. They've never matured physically or spiritually or otherwise. And they filled their minds full of filth on television. Somebody say amen. Or DVDs or CDs or BBDs or whatever you want to call them. It ought to wake us up when a liberal state like California is contemplating passing a law banning violent videos from that state, and they're as liberal as they can be.
Right.
Or to wake Kentucky up a little bit.
Amen.
That's right. Somebody said, I thought you were going to preach on growth. I am. You just don't know it. You ain't grown enough to realize it. Little children have to be carried in their parents' bosom, be dandled on their knees, taken in the arms and taught to walk. Young men in their strength. Young men is their... In Proverbs 20:29, rather, says that the glory of the young men is his strength.
Amen,
the same thing is implied here. You're strong. You've overcome the wicked one. Amen. And but with the ancients, wisdom marks them. Job said in Job 12:12, he said, and with the ancient is wisdom, and length of days, understanding. Now that's what Job, and he said the same thing here about the fathers, virtually. Now I'm telling you, as you get older, you ought to have a little wisdom about you.
Amen.
Amen. And by the way, if any man lack wisdom, let it ask of God to give it to all men liberally and upbraid not. But there ought to come a time in our life when we've got enough wisdom to make certain judgments in our life and know how to conduct our life, lead about a wife, and lead about our homes and our family. Amen. And have some spiritual maturity about us.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
I mean, some Baptists got to be burped every Sunday. I know some, there are none in this building, but they never would come to church if you didn't call them every week and tell them how much you loved them and cared for them. Then they'd show up on Sunday. But you miss the next Saturday, call them, tell them, they wouldn't show up the next Sunday.
Amen.
God help, we never, if you're that weak,
amen.
You see little children, little ones have to be made to get out of bed and come to church. Adults don't have to be made. They ought to be spiritual enough and mature enough to get out of the bed. Amen. And Daddy, by the way, you ought to be the first one up in the morning. Tell the youngest, up and at them, boys and girls. Time to go to the house of God. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank God. All right. I know. Listen carefully. Nothing in this world develops immediately or matures immediately. Instead, everything develops by orderly progress and by gradual growth.
Amen.
Everything. Tree, plant life, fruit, vegetables, you name it. Nothing just all at once and it's there.
Amen.
It grows gradually. It matures gradually. Them oak trees sitting over on the back of this property didn't jump up out of the ground one day and say, here I am. I'm a giant oak tree. They started out as a little acorn in the ground.
Amen.
And they had to grow into that. And by the way, some of us that are more spiritual, that have grown a little bit, we better learn to realize everybody's not where we're at.
Amen.
And we better keep a critical tongue in our mouth if everybody don't dot their I like we do and cross their T like we do.
Amen.
They're not where we are. But I'm going to say this, if you stay down there all of your life, one thing it'll do is sow doubt in your salvation, doubts in your mind, and you will never come to a full assurance of the faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I know some of you don't like this, but you'll get over it. You'll get over it. Bible said in Mark 4:28, it said, first the blade, then the ear, and after that the full corn in the ear.
Amen.
The child of God is no exception. For at birth he is not fully developed spiritually. Adam was created physically, a full mature man.
Amen.
But we're not fully matured spiritual people at our birth.
Amen.
We're like the Lord. He was physically born. And he had to grow in stature and in wisdom. And in he is our second Adam, by the way. In like manner, we have got to grow in wisdom and in stature as the Lord Jesus Christ. And by the way, it doesn't take some people as long to get there as it does some other people. It doesn't take some folk nearly as long to get there as it does other people. A whole lot of it depends on that person. Whether you fertilize yourself and water yourself, or whether you just sit there stagnant. You throw a little fertilizer on, I'm talking about the butt. Throw a little water on, I'm talking about the butt. Learn how to pray, I'm talking about your spiritual life. Amen. I'm telling you, some folks will grow faster than what other people will. And some folks never grow at all. They're midgets. They'll stay a midget. Amen. Now, hallelujah. Luke 2:52 talks about our Lord increasing in wisdom and stature until he attained manhood. And he gained favor with God and favor with men as he grew. Now stay right with me. There are some real marked differences among the people of God. Not all of them are in uniform stature. Not all. Some of them in uniform stature, strength, or growth in godliness. Some are lambs. Others are sheep. Some are strong. Some are weak. Some are babies. Some are of a full age. They've not all of us here are on that same level. But all of us are fertile, yet not in the same measure. In Mark chapter number 4, he said, and some brought forth some 30, some 60, and some 100. If you're a child of God, you're spiritually fertile. And you may not bring forth a hundredfold, but you will bring forth something spiritually for the Lord. In fact, he said in John 15 that there were some that brought forth fruit. Some brought forth more fruit. Some brought forth much fruit. None of those aren't the same level, but they're all fertile. They've been enriched in their spirit by the Holy Ghost. He is in you working out the salvation that Christ has put in you. And by the way, that's what that verse of Scripture means when it said, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. It's not talking about saving yourself. It's talking about working out what God's already put in. He puts the same measure. He put that measure in all of us, and we're to work it out to whatever it is.
Amen.
Whether it be 5 talents, 2 talents, or the 1 talent. We're to work out that salvation.
Amen.
That God's given us.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Am I making any sense to anybody?
Amen.
Am I boring anybody? I hope not. Amen. Doesn't make any difference what level we're on, though. Get this now. We're all dear to Him.
Amen.
God loves the little children.
Yes.
Brother, I'm telling you, you don't score any brownie points with Jesus, friend.
Amen.
Oh, no. God loves us. And God, like I said, God knew your ability. And it was Him that meted out every talent that we have. And God loves the lowest as He loves the highest. He loves that one that's not grown much as He does that one that's a spiritual giant. There's not many spiritual giants in our day. I could illustrate. Now, I won't spend time here. I'll just mention these. And I'm putting these on a spiritual level as well as their physical level, okay? I hope you get hold of what I'm saying. Little children in the Bible. What about Samuel? Was called at a very early age.
Amen.
He wasn't nothing but a stripling.
That's right.
But God called him as a prophet at a very early age. That means at a very early age, he had reached some spiritual maturity. One reason he did is because he had a praying mama. He had a praying mother that not only prayed to get him, she prayed after she got him.
Amen.
Amen. And he grew up in the house of God.
Amen.
And he was a young boy when God called him. What about Timothy? Paul told Timothy, he said, you have known the Holy Scriptures since a child. You've known from a child the Holy Scriptures that are able to make you wise unto salvation. From a child you've known them. From a little bitty child you've known the Scriptures. He wasn't an adult man. Timothy was just a young kid when he got saved by the grace of God. And he wasn't nothing but a stripling when he left with Paul on his missionary journey. Paul called him my son in the faith. Amen. At just a young age, I'm here to tell you, some of you young people in here, if your mamas and your daddies want to dry up on the vine, let them dry up. Get you a King James Bible. Find you a corner. Get on your knees. Find the Lord in your life. And determined by the grace of God, you're going to know everything about Him. The Holy Ghost will reveal to you. Amen. That's right. What about young men? I think of Joseph. Just a young man. When they sold him into slavery. Huh? But he went down there and became governor of the land. And sustained not only Egypt, but his own, but Canaan as well. And his own daddy and his own brothers as well. As a young man. As a young man. He said no. The fornication.
Amen.
You don't have to be a whoremonger, boys.
Right.
You don't have to commit fornication, boys.
Right.
You don't have to commit adultery, everybody.
Right.
No, sir. You can run from that evil. He ran from that woman. I'm telling you, a girl, you boys, listen to me. A girl that don't want to live right and be right, amen, and stay clean and remain a virgin until you marry her, leave her alone. Likewise with you girls. You've got some boy always pawing all over the top of you. Just, hey, next time you meet him, have on high heel shoes. Pull one of them off and split his brains right down the middle with one of them. Praise God, he won't bother you no more. Amen. If I had a boy, all he wanted to do is lay around and put his hands on me, I'd wring his jaws, buddy.
Amen.
I'm telling you what that petting will lead around to, fornication. Amen.
Amen.
Better keep your hands off of one another. You'll find yourself in trouble.
Amen.
And I'm telling you, don't get no second chances on your virginity. Once it is gone, it is gone.
Amen.
What a blessing to see a boy and a girl walk down the aisle together. Amen. Both of them pure. Let's live for God, amen. And they're responsible enough to take on a family and raise a family together.
Amen.
Amen. It's got to start with mom and daddy in the home.
That's right.
Go right on up.
Amen.
Amen. What about Daniel? And even David served the Lord while he was just a young man.
Amen.
Then I think of old men. Somebody probably don't even know this fella. There was a fellow in the book of Acts, chapter 19, verse 6, by the name of Mason of Cyprus. The Bible said, an old disciple. An old disciple. I pronounce it Mason. It's spelled M-N-A-S-O-N. It might be Nason. I don't know what it is. Might be Mason. I don't know what it is. I call it Mason. You call it whatever you want to. Lord knows the guy. Amen. But at any rate, I can read old disciple. He was a man with wisdom. I read about in Philemon verse 9 where Paul said, I am now Paul the aged, that I've learned a few things.
Amen.
I read about John. He wrote the book of John in 90 A.D., ladies and gentlemen. Amen to God. I'm talking about some 40 years after our Lord was gone from this earth.
Amen.
No. Yeah, 50 years. He was an old man and full of wisdom.
Amen.
And I believe it was John, on while he was on Patmos in Revelation, that God told him, you're still going to have to testify before kings and a whole lot of other folks. And he was an old man. Don't give up on Brother Hall because I'm 61. Hallelujah to God. I've still got a little testifying to do in my day. Praise God. Amen. I'm not as wise as some, but I'm not a pure fool like I used to be either.
Amen.
Amen. Some folks are just, they're flowers in the church. Blooming idiots.
Amen.
And I was one of them for a long time. Come on in the house. Now, where we've grown, and I'll run right through this real quick, and we'll be out of here maybe by 10, 15 more minutes. We grow in faith. You'll never grow anywhere until you grow in faith. The Bible said, Paul said in 2 Thessalonians 1:3, we are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because your faith groweth exceedingly. In other words, it grows into young men. And then it grows into fathers. And that growth in faith makes you strong. Helps you overcome the wicked one. It'll make you wise, ladies and gentlemen. Growing in that faith. Amen. That's right. Learn to do great exploits. Put your faith to work. Brother Doug taught Sunday school out of Acts 6 this morning. And he taught on those seven men that the apostles told the church there to look out seven men among you. And he laid down the qualification, full of faith and the Holy Ghost. And isn't that? By the way, he didn't say look out seven men that may mature to this level. He said seven men that are there. If they're there, they'll do the job. And I won't say I've never found anybody yet that's been put somewhere with any spiritual maturity about them that didn't stick around, buddy. They'll stay there and stick around if they've grown in any grace at all. Somebody said, oh, it gets rough. Yeah, I know it gets rough. Praise God, I've been there, done that. Got a t-shirt. But I'm telling you, I've come to a place in my life. There is no turning back, no looking back, ain't a going back. I'm a going on. Praise God. They've written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. Thank God to God. Seated with Him in heavenly places. I'm saved, saved, saved! Amen. Thank you, Brother Jerome. First one today. Amen. Now, I said this. I said we grow by continuation. Somebody said, what do you mean you grow by continuation? Well, he said in 1 Thessalonians 1:3, remembering without ceasing your work of faith. I want you to look me right in the eyeball. Faith will never grow without works.
Amen.
It can't. Faith without works is dead.
Amen.
You've never learned to do anything at all for God. One or two things. You're a baby.
Amen.
Or you're lost.
Amen.
I say that without any hesitation.
Amen.
Amen. Works. Without faith, without works, is dead, being alone. And he even clarified that as a man, as a spirit, as man is dead without the spirit, so faith is dead without works. Now, it grows by continuation. That's right. He said in 1 Thessalonians 1:3, remembering without ceasing your work of faith. I want to say this. Faith grows by witnessing. He said in verse 7 of that same chapter, so then you were examples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. Why were they examples? To all that believe. I'm going to tell you why. Because they were a witnessing church.
Amen.
They were a witnessing people.
Amen.
I've heard folks say, I've never told anybody about Jesus. It's time you did.
Amen.
It's time you told somebody about Christ.
Amen.
It'll give you a little boldness in your life. It'll help that faith to grow. It'll help you to overcome obstacles in your life that's preventing you from being where God wants you to be in your Christian life. Amen. Pick out somebody this week. Go tell them about God and tell them you'll come back Sunday morning and carry them to church.
Amen.
Ask the Lord to lay somebody on your heart. Go tell them. Some of you ain't got the grace to tell your parents.
Amen.
Or your grandparents. Scared to death.
That's right.
They'll get offended at it. So what?
That's right.
I'd rather people go to hell being offended by telling them than I would them go to hell never being told.
Amen.
Amen. Now, Faith not only grows by continuation, but faith grows by witnessing. And faith grows also by waiting. He said in verse 10, and to wait for His Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. Hey, if you don't think that waiting is involved in faith, and it takes more faith to wait than it does anything else.
Amen.
You read through Hebrews 11. And Abraham went out looking for a city and never did find it. But he died looking for it and waiting for it.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you where your faith is really put to the test, friend. The Lord in His parables, you ought to read some of them. He talks about if the Lord, and I'll just paraphrase it, the Lord tarries His coming, and He's made you a steward over something, and you go out and begin to mistreat the other servants, the men servants and the maid servants, begin to live a life of reveling and this and that. He said He'll come in an hour when you know not, but He'll point you in a portion with the hypocrites and the unbelievers. What I'm simply saying is this. If you're really saved by the grace of God, I don't care how bad it gets outside these four walls, you make it! And you'll be waiting with great expectation when the trumpet sounds, because your faith has grown and brought you to a place where you've got the ability that while trials and tribulations and heartaches and troubles come, to wait on God, because He is coming. Hallelujah to God. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, that is stayed under the load, for when he's tried, he shall obtain a crown of life, which the Lord has in store for them that love Him.
Amen.
You waiting? You witnessing? Are you working? May I say secondly, we grow in fellowship.
Amen.
He said in 1 Corinthians 1:9, God is faithful, by whom you were called unto the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. How much time do you spend in fellowship with Him?
Amen.
Somebody said, I'm not growing very fast. Maybe you're not spending enough time in His presence.
Amen.
He'll get you over one hurdle after another hurdle. Amen. After another hurdle in your life. If you'll learn to sit at His feet like Mary.
Amen.
And learn from the feet of the Lord.
Amen.
That's right. You've got to grow in that fellowship.
Amen.
Now, fellowship grows, and I think I messed up on this a while ago. Fellowship grows by continuation. It said in Acts 2:42, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread from house to house. It grows by continuation. I said you become fathers by uninterrupted fellowship.
Amen.
Laying on top of things. That's right, by continuation. It grows by conformity. Philippians 3:10, that we may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings being made conformable unto His death. You see our fellowship there as we fellowship with Him. We're conformed to Him and His death.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you, can I say this to you, and I say it all lovingly. If you're not mature enough to live for Him, you're surely God not mature enough to die for Him.
Amen.
That's right.
Amen.
And that's the point it's making. There have been men and women that have given their heads for Him and the gospel's sake. And we sit around twiddling our thumbs and play a mumbly peg as selfish as any nation in all the world could possibly be, and let souls die and go to hell without ever shedding any gospel light on them whatsoever.
Amen.
And those that stay here won't hardly give a dime for it. You mentioned giving a little bit of money and they draw up, bless God, like a clam.
Amen.
Come on! Conforming to His death. If we can't live like Him, we can't die like Him.
Amen.
And then growth is by chastisement.
Amen.
For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. I'm going to tell you, y'all know the story. I let my brother take a black snake whip and pop paper out of my mouth once. Just one time. Because when that whip smacked me upside the face, and my daddy happened to come walking up that hill with that dinner bucket, and we called it a dinner bucket back then, in his hand, he just set it down on that old well curb for that old Barlow pocket knife, cut a good maple limb off, looked over at my brother and said, "Ernie, come here." And I started smiling then. And I mean, him and Ernie went round and round. And the more he went around, the more my daddy laid it on. And I thought, bless God, he's getting what he deserves. When he got done, he said, "Gary, come here a minute." And I said, "Daddy, I didn't do nothing." He said, "Son, you're ignorant." He said, "Anybody that is so stupid, they'll stand and let somebody take a 10-foot black snake whip and try to pop paper out of their mouth. They deserve more than you. I gave your brother. Come here, boy." Can I say this? Chastisement! And guess what? Ain't nobody ever tried to pluck no paper out of my mouth since. And I'm going to tell you something else. I've never forgotten it. You'll never forget when the Lord lays the lash on you, buddy, and you'll never go back to that problem ever again. Chastisement will grow you enough that you'd correct you in a way. You'll never go back that way.
Amen.
You'll never go back that way. Hallelujah. I've got to hurry. I want to say number three, we grow in fear. That is in reverence. We've lost that. Fear this. They might talk tough from their lips out, buddy. But I'm going to tell you something. When they stand at the judgment bar of God, they're going to realize what fear is all about. I'm going to tell you what the Bible said in Hebrews 11:7. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear. A fear. Had a fear of judgment. I wonder how many folks today they are that have a fear of judgment. Hey, and come on, somebody said, "Well, that's only unbelievers." Oh, what are you going to do about this verse? If judgment first appear in the house of God, where shall the sinner and the ungodly appear?
That's right.
Come on in the house, ladies and gentlemen. We better learn to fear God.
Amen.
The older I get, the more fear I have of Him. I've seen what He can do to disobedient children.
Amen.
And it causes me to fear Him because of that. And it's not a Slavic fear. We're not slaves of that fear. But we reverence God, knowing that He is our authority and our supreme and our power over us.
Amen.
And we reverence Him. Hebrews 11:28 said, "Wherefore we, receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For God is a consuming fire." And I said, "Preacher, can you?" I'm not going to take time to go there. But when Abraham took Isaac up on Mount Moriah to offer him, and he carried the wood, and little old Isaac said, "Father," said, "here's the wood, and here's the fire." He said, "Where's the sacrifice?" And God said, "Son," said, "God will prepare Himself a lamb." And he built the altar, laid the wood on the altar. He bound Isaac, laid Isaac on the altar. And the angel of the Lord called him and said, "Abraham, Abraham." And he said, "Lord," something to that effect, "here I am." And he said, "Don't hurt that boy."
Amen.
And get this now. He said, "For now I know that thou fearest the Lord."
Right.
Amen.
And I'm going to tell you, sometimes God may put you to a little providential test.
That's right.
To prove you, just to see if you really do. Fear God. Somebody said, "What would have happened if Abraham hadn't went down to that mountain?" Well, I'm sure God in His omniscient mind knew exactly what was going to happen, but I'll put it to you like this. Abraham would have been disobedient to God, and I don't know what would have happened. One thing that could have happened, God may have taken Isaac anyway.
That's right. Amen. Amen.
Now, I'm going to tell you, you better be careful letting your kids off the hook.
Amen.
Amen.
Caving into them. Because God knows how to take them, ladies and gentlemen. God brought that baby into the world, or that boy or girl, whatever, into the world. And God knows how to take him out of the world, friend.
Amen.
He's more apt to keep things going in the right way through obedience than he is disobedience.
Amen.
I'm closing right here. We grow by feeding.
Amen.
We feed on milk for the babies, the little children. We feed on meat.
Amen.
I found out I got two young men in here that really likes meat.
Amen.
Meat for the young men. Strong meat.
Amen.
Somebody said, well, then what's for the old? What is for those that are full of wisdom? Hidden manna.
Amen.
And I think the reason God lets us old men have manna is because we've done lost our teeth and we can't buy the meat.
Amen.
No. You got to dig a little harder. Look a little deeper.
Amen.
A little wiser about things in that book. God gives you a few rich nuggets that everybody else don't find. Where are you at? Little children, young men,
Amen.
Our fathers. Let's stand together.